This is the Dan Abrams Law and Crime Podcast with SiriusXM Radio.
Lanny Brewer is the former Assistant Attorney General for the Criminal Division at the Department of Justice, former special counsel to Bill Clinton during his impeachment hearings. He's currently the vice chairman of Covington and Burling. Thanks very much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me, Dan. I'm delighted to be here.
All right, so let me start with this question that I've just laid out, which is, you read through the Roger Stone indictment, and it does, if you take it all at face value, it does make you think, well, wait a second. If they needed Roger Stone to be their guy who's in contact with WikiLeaks, it does seem to undercut the idea that somehow the Trump campaign is directly in cahoots with the Russians.
Well, Dan, I don't disagree with that. I mean, none of us know the role of the campaign. I certainly don't. And I have absolutely no idea whether the campaign was or was not involved in a conspiracy. What we do know, of course, is that this campaign showed a remarkable disregard for distancing itself from entities that were more likely than not foreign entities, from distancing itself from those who were trying in one way or another to sabotage the election. So they were certainly willing recipients of stolen information. Whether or not they conspired or not, only the grand jury and the Mueller team know.
And by the way, and this doesn't preclude the possibility, and we've talked about this a lot on the show, that somehow the Russians funneled money through the NRA into the Trump campaign. And then the question would be, did they know about it or not? That would be a different kind of issue, but certainly the Stone indictment wouldn't answer that kind of question. What do you make of the explanation from some of the legal experts that, you know, well, you may have him on conspiracy, but you may not want to show all your cards at this time?
Well, that may well be the case. You know, I really don't know. I hold the special counsel in the highest regard. Obviously, they've been building their case step by step and block by block. Whether they've determined that they're not charging Stone with conspiracy because they're still developing the case and they may be bringing other indictments and the like, or whether they simply feel that they don't have it, I mean, both are plausible explanations. And candidly, Dan, I just simply don't know which it is. I mean, as you said, as I was listening, the indictment in and of itself is damning against Stone. It's, in my view, damning against those in the campaign. But that doesn't mean it's necessarily criminal conspiracy.
Right. And I think that that's an important distinction to make between wrong, maybe even despicable, and criminal. And that's, you know, it's an important and critical distinction. Let me do this. I want Roger Stone has been talking a lot. And what I want to do, and he's making, you know, throwing out all sorts of defenses and allegations and this and that. And so I want to go through some of what he has been saying. This, he held a long press conference in front of his house. He was all, you know, in full TV makeup with his sunglasses outdoors. And here is some of what he said about, here he's talking about why he thinks that he was indicted and not others.
Do you still believe that Hillary should be locked up?
Well, she lied under oath before Congress. She lied and destroyed evidence. She intimidated witnesses, yet she pays no penalty. Mr. Comey, Mr. Brennan, Mr. McCabe, Mr. General Clapper, Hillary Clinton, they all lied under oath regarding material matters of great consequence. I am falsely accused of lying under Congress, which I did not do. When are they being prosecuted? Where is the equal application of the law?
So I think this is an important one to tackle, because I think a lot of people on the right, when I talk to folks, say, well, you know, maybe he did this, but it does seem like they're going after Trump's people and not others. Now, Lanny Brewer, look, you've been following this closely. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think there is any evidence that James Comey lied under oath. Is there?
I'm not aware of any evidence that James Comey lied under oath. And what you hear Roger Stone saying today is, in my view, really disgraceful. You know, in the course of a minute, he impugns General Clapper, former CIA Director Brennan. I mean, these aren't people who are my friends, but these are people who have served our nation for decades and are public servants. And to me, this is simply a strategy of deflection. Attack everyone, attack those who you perceive are political opponents, even if in they are really public servants. And I think that's what Stone is doing, but, and no more than that. There's no evidence of that for Comey, much less for Clapper or Brennan,
right,
or others that he mentions in his discussion.
I was going to go through each one. I mean, the bottom line is that there isn't evidence that any of these people lied under oath. I mean, look, I've been very clear on my views on the Hillary Clinton thing. I think she was wrong when she said she didn't do anything wrong. I think she did do something wrong. I think it was, you know, an effort likely to avoid making her records accessible for public information requests. I think that it was stupid. I think it was, you know, I think there are a lot of words I could use here. I also think it was a violation of State Department rules. I don't think it was a crime. And I also don't think that she lied under oath about it. I think one of the reasons she didn't get charged is because she ended up telling the truth about what happened.
Well, Dan, I agree with you. And even if for a moment Stone were right, and he's not, in no way does that change the fact that this indictment makes a compelling case that he, in fact, did make false statements to Congress, that he did obstruct justice, that he did tamper with witnesses. And as you know, and as anyone knows in a court of law, if you're guilty, you're guilty. Whether someone else may also be guilty is an entirely different situation. So what I thought is particularly meaningful is because Stone appears not to have a credible way of deflecting or challenging the allegations himself, he's just attacking as many people as he can, and he's hopeful that those who are supportive of him and the president politically are not going to care at all about the facts, but rather are going to be swayed by his character assassination.
I agree. Look, my concern is that this stuff can work. And you know, another thing I've said on the show many times is that you cannot call yourself pro-law enforcement and claim that this is all, you know, prosecutors run amok, because that's a defense attorney argument. That's what defense attorneys argue in this country every single day, that we can't trust our prosecutors, you can't trust the police. And look, there are a lot of people who I respect who take those positions. I tend to disagree with them. But you can't be someone coming at me from the right telling me you don't trust law enforcement. All right, I said this before. I'm not going to go on this again.
Yeah, Dan, I agree with you. And really, what's so heartbreaking in this matter is you see even the president himself really attacking the very institutions that he has a sworn duty and oath to protect, including the Department of Justice, including the criminal justice system. And if you look at Bob Mueller himself, who, by the way, is a Republican, despite the president saying differently, Mueller has spent his entire career serving this nation from the moment that he chose to serve in Vietnam and as a veteran to his entire time of simply serving our nation at Maine Justice and in other places, and, of course, being the FBI director immediately after 9/11. The notion that today in his 70s, that the White House and others are challenging his rectitude and the good faith of him and those who are working with him is really terrible. And what, to me, what it suggests is that they are very worried about the underlying facts in the investigation. So they want to destroy the man, a man who deserves all of our gratitude, whether you're a conservative Republican or a liberal Democrat.
I completely agree with you. He was confirmed 100-0 for an extension beyond his 10 years initially. And, you know, I think that I said this to someone who was on the show, who came on, who's a liberal lawyer and talk show host. And sort of was telling me, Mueller this, is Mueller great, Mueller's this. And I finally said to him, I said, all right, I just want to confirm that if Mueller comes back with a report that you're not happy with, that you don't think implicates the president enough, I need to hear you say you're going to support it. And he says, I said, what do you mean, You either support the investigation and you're willing to say, I'll take it as it comes, or you don't. And I'm with you, Lanny, in the sense that you know, Robert Mueller is almost unassailable. That's the problem for them, is he's almost unassailable. And that's the challenge that they're having. But here's what Stone said about Mueller in his little press conference in Washington.
Well, I must say, I don't understand who Mr. Mueller is accountable to. If he's not accountable to the Congress and he's not accountable to the executive, and he has broad authority because our special counsel law has expired, you can see the kind of travesty that you saw last week. I'm 66 years old. I do not own a gun. I do not have a valid passport. I have no prior criminal record. I am charged with non-violent process crimes. To storm my house with a greater force than was used to take down Bin Laden or El Chapo or Pablo Escobar, to terrorize my wife and my dogs, it's unconscionable. I would have been more than happy. They knew I was represented. Had they contacted my attorneys, I would have voluntarily turned myself in. I would have been able to wear a suit and tie for my mugshot. It would have looked a lot better.
All right. So, Lanny Brewer, look, you were the person responsible when you were at Justice for ordering these kinds of raids at times. What do you make of his comments here?
Yeah, I really reject what he says completely. First of all, Bob Mueller is responsible to someone. He will report to the Attorney General. Very much unlike Ken Starr, who was an independent counsel and truly was independent, and in my view conducted himself very differently than the way Bob Mueller has. Mueller does, in fact, report to the Attorney General. But with respect to what happened the other day, first of all, one of the reasons you do exactly what the FBI did is to preserve evidence. Here we know that this man has been indicted for obstruction of justice and witness tampering. It would be hard to find someone who would be a greater risk of destroying documents and changing evidence. And so one reason that you would, in fact, do what the police and the FBI did here was to preserve evidence. But also, quite candidly, and I don't mean this tongue-in-cheek, there isn't an exception for wealthy white 66-year-olds. He is going to be treated the same way that other defendants should be treated and others who are indicted. And the notion that Mr. Stone has a right to put on his suits and go to court, that's simply not the way it goes. So both to protect evidence and also because this is the ordinary course. And, of course, the height of ironies is the president's own counsel, Rudy Giuliani, was at the forefront of making those points. Probably there hasn't been a prosecutor in the last 30 or 40 years who had more celebrated arrests of figures in Wall Street and throughout the country in exactly this way and much more.
Well, so let me ask you. I mean, again, you were the one approving these kinds of things. You were the one ordering them. He's basically saying that he's been singled out and no one else charged with obstruction of justice or lying under oath, et cetera, would ever have this kind of raid when he was arrested. And what you're telling us is that that's not the case.
It's not the case. And often in these cases, by the way, the people who really make that decision are the FBI agents who are most responsible for making sure of the safety and soundness of what happens, to preserve the evidence, to ensure that nobody is hurt, to ensure that no neighbors are hurt. And of course, the FBI today is, of course, also run by a Republican appointee, Chris Wray, another great public servant here. So I absolutely reject what Mr. Stone says.
So I want to play another piece of sound. This is from Roger Stone on This Week with George Stephanopoulos on Sunday. And it sounds like he's laying out the foundations for his defense.
You know, you denied having any documents or text messages discussing WikiLeaks or Assange, but the prosecutors in the indictment lay out several emails, dozens of text messages.
You know, they're right. I did forget on some occasions that I had text messages and emails.
that are entirely exculpatory and prove that everything I said before
but
the House
Let me stop you right there. You say you forgot. On the day you testified, you didn't have any exchanges with Mr. Credico. You had 30 exchanges, 30 text exchanges with Randy Credico on the day you said you didn't remember it.
Mr. Credico, a man who threatened to put a bullet in the head of one of Mueller's witnesses before the grand jury, but is not charged with witness tampering or intimidation, a man who lied to the grand jury about being my source regarding the significance of the WikiLeaks disclosures, a man who threatened me in writing to have a woman falsely accuse me of sexual assault.
But the text messages have nothing to do with anything else having to do with him. The text messages are the text messages. They're documents.
I will prove in court that any failure of memory on my part was without intent and would be immaterial. I am human, but I did make some errors, but they're errors that would be inconsequential within the scope of this investigation.
You're also.
And Lanny Brewer, he's being very careful in using the legal language as is required, intent and materiality.
Absolutely. And of course, he has the right and he has the right to defend himself, and he'll have the right if he decides to go to court to do so. Look, again, I obviously don't know the evidence here. I do know what the indictment says. The indictment's very specific. It gives example after example, as George Stephanopoulos points out, of Mr. Stone to Congress saying, I have no documents, I didn't have these kinds of conversations. And if everything was so innocuous, then I wonder why he threatened Mr. Credico. And again, in the indictment, it talks about threats and trying to convince Credico to take the Fifth Amendment and threatening his dog and the like, which is, at least from reading the indictment, inconsistent with the notion that this was an innocuous, innocent mistake, and the materials that I forgot to tell Congress about are not harmful, and the conversations that I forgot to tell Congress about weren't harmful. And of course, like with all these other examples, these are conversations that directly or indirectly suggest that Mr. Stone knew about the Russian hacking, knew that WikiLeaks had the materials, and very much wanted to harm the Clinton campaign in order to benefit the Trump campaign. And clearly, Mr. Stone, at least from the indictment, it would appear, is sensitive and defensive about the fact that he wasn't involved in that. So he said he wasn't involved. He denied it in front of Congress. And right now he has no choice but to say, I didn't intend anything. And by the way, all these materials are innocuous and aren't troubling.
All right, so that's going to be his defense on the false statements, right? That I didn't remember, it was a mistake, it's not material, okay. But on witness tampering, I mean, they have the texts, they have the emails, the language is clear that he is his defense going to be, I was kidding?
His defense, I don't know. I don't know Mr. Stone. I suspect his defense will be a little like what we heard and what we've heard from others. His defense will be to attack every institution, to attack everyone else, to deflect, to try to get people not to pay attention to the very specific acts he engaged in. So he'll talk about other people and what he thinks should have happened to other people and the like. Maybe he'll say that he had been threatened by this fellow who I don't know, which it seems he said, Dan, just now to George Stephanopoulos. And so he was so angry and upset that he said something in response because he had been challenged. But he said it out of anger, not out of intent. It doesn't seem particularly convincing, but he may try to do something like that.
So the question I think a lot of people are now asking is whether he may cooperate with Robert Mueller. He today said that he doesn't see, he doesn't know, but he doesn't see how that would be the case. He doesn't talk about hypotheticals, he said today, but he doesn't see how that would be the case. This is what he said on This Week with Stephanopoulos when he was confronted about this question yesterday.
Any chance you'll cooperate with Special Counsel Robert Mueller if he asks?
That's a question I would have to determine after my attorneys have some discussion. If there's wrongdoing by other people in the campaign that I know about, which I know of none, but if there is, I would certainly testify honestly. I'd also testify honestly about any other matter, including any communications with the president. It's true that we spoke on the phone, but those communications are political in nature. They're benign, and there is certainly no conspiracy with Russia.
So Do you think, look, I've said this, I don't think there's any chance, Lanny Brewer, and look, maybe this is, you know, people who have been inside the Department of Justice will tell you that people who you initially thought there was no chance that they would cooperate sometimes do end up cooperating. I just don't think there's a chance that he's going to cooperate.
Well, first, Dan, not to be funny, but as I understand from what I read, he's got a huge tattoo of Richard Nixon on his back.
Does.
So
yes,
I don't pretend to be able to go into the mind of someone who has that kind of a tattoo. But I would say that though it seems unlikely, and if you cooperate, you have to completely cooperate and you have to answer every question. Look, if you are really facing incarceration, that can be frightening. That maybe he's hopeful that even if he's convicted, that he will get a pardon from President Trump. And maybe that's a reasonable hope and play. So I think it's unlikely, I think, as we've seen with Paul Manafort, that true cooperation is very difficult. You don't just get to pick and choose when you tell the truth. You have to tell the truth about everything you know. And so that'll be balanced against his fear that there's a compelling case against him and he may have to go to jail for a number of years. But I don't pretend to be able to get inside Roger Stone's mind.
All right. So bring me, just give me insight then into a typical person who is charged, who you are convinced as the prosecutor is a liar, not just, you know, in a particular charge, but someone you simply don't trust. Do you still try and make a deal, cooperation agreement with that kind of person?
Well, if that person has valuable information and you have a way of being able to test what he is saying to you through a long investigation, then for sure. So if Stone were to say he wanted to cooperate, if you're able to corroborate and test what he's saying, I'm sure that you would try to make a run at it. I don't know what the deal, quote unquote, would be. It would still probably be a pretty significant sentence, or it might be. But the real key is, does this person have valuable information? Does it benefit the investigation? And therefore, does it benefit our nation as we're trying to figure out what happened with the election and the interference of it? And if you can do that and if you can test it, then, of course, you at least listen to Stone if he wants to speak so you can determine whether or not it makes sense to move forward with him as a cooperator.
And the corroboration just becomes critical because, you know, you talk about people sometimes in the context of investigation. Someone pleads guilty to lying and they say, well, this person's a liar. They can't be trusted. And, of course, that's what happens if the person ends up testifying in a trial. They get cross-examined and that becomes a critical factor. And someone like Stone, who really, you know, just simply isn't trustworthy, as you point out, that's fine. But if he can provide you a trail to go down, if he can provide you information that you can then walk down that trail and then corroborate it for yourself, then he's been very useful if that were to happen. But I just don't think that's going to happen.
This has been the Dan Abrams Law and Crime Podcast with SiriusXM Radio.